Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. I'm going to dive into a couple of the wide receivers here that are first-round guys, less than 27 years old, and have not yet hit. So we'll just get this out of the way. N'Keal Harry, probably not going to be valuable. Henry Ruggs, yeah. Unless we're playing longest yard football, probably not super involved. So we'll skip to the guys that are relevant. And I think there's a couple of ones that are big in here. Brandon Ayuk and Jerry Jeudy headline this. I already talked about Devonta Smith and Bateman in the rookie one, so go ahead and check that out. Kadarius Toney in the rookie one as well. So I think the headlines here, Ayuk, Jeudy, Rager's disappointment, Corey Davis's potential. So Ayuk right now, 22nd on keep trade cut, 35 in points per reception. Good example of some psychological biases that we might have. Starts off kind of rough. You got the shenanigans going on with him and Sermon to start the season, and you're just like, what the heck, you know? And it's frustrating. You sort of anchor that in your mind, and then in January you come back and you learn that he ran routes on 86% of the team's dropbacks, and you're like, wait a second, I really remember it being worse at the start of the season where he wasn't playing. I'm like, yeah, no, he pretty much played a pretty big role. It's just, balanced out. If it was me, the takeaway that I would have is he's a pretty good wide receiver, but volume matters. 32nd in dropbacks per game at 33.2. He had a 14.7% target share. That's just not enough. When you're low volume, low target share, and you can be really good, which he is, 1.68 yards per route run. It's well above expectation. He's 70th in terms of points per route run, for example. He's overperforming about a median expected points per route run. I mean, and he's performing 86th percentile and over expectation on yards per route run, right? So, I mean, all of the stuff, he's basically overperforming what you would expect of him, yet he's still a wide receiver 3 in fantasy. And I think, like, you look at that and you say, all right, well, why? It's the volume's not that high. Could things change? Sure. But they drafted a running quarterback. And, is this a scenario where we're going to get a big change? We could. I'm not sure I'm going to bet on that right now. And if I'm going to, right, I think taking him at wide receiver 22 is a bet on that. And it feels very insulated until he does exactly what he did last year, and then he's going to fall. And without a systematic change in his usage and the volume in that offense, the passing volume in particular, it's going to be really hard to see him be a big-time difference maker. Can I pivot up the position? If I'm going to do so, like that, he's a good player to do it with. Not a huge guy to pivot up the position, except in situations like this, really. Like, I don't want to pay big assets to move up the position because it's wide receiver is such a variant position in terms of touchdowns, in terms of some of that stuff, that it can be really, really hard to get it right. Like, even if you're right sort of in principle, or you're, right on the merits, is I would, to use like a legal thing, even if you're right there, it doesn't necessarily mean the outcome's going to be right because of some of the variance and stuff and all that. And so that would be the caution concern I generally have for moving up at wide receiver. If you look, at the flip side of it, like, I think he is pretty good. If he was a wide receiver 2 in Kansas City, it would be a different story. Give him a more voluminous situation. Put him in a situation like you would see Jalen Waddle. And I think you could expect similar types of production, right? I think that would be totally reasonable. You're just not seeing that. And I think that that's going to be a problem for him. So does he look like a little bit more like a sexier version of rookie contract Corey Davis? Maybe a less disappointing version of that? That wouldn't surprise me. I think that's like a reasonable range of outcomes for him. Is he kind of like a de facto wide receiver 1-ish, but you've got like Debo sort of masquerading as Slash, and you've got Kittle, and that ultimately doesn't really equate to a ton of opportunity on a percentage basis either. And then all of a sudden you're just kind of like, this is where we are, you know? So that's sort of, a lot of my concern with Ayuk. Can I move up the position with him? I'm fine doing that. Can I move, but just because I think you can get more volume, you know, if you can pivot from him to a productive player plus some picks, I think that makes some sense. You know, could you do, him for, you know, Amari Cooper plus, or him for Brandon Cooks plus, or him for Mike Evans plus? Like, those things I think are interesting pivots. That's a technique I like to use in terms of pivoting guys. You know, if you could get second rounders in there, like, those would be smashing successes, that types of stuff, especially if they're future ones. But those sorts of things, like, or extract, let's apply the principles of the book. Can we use a move from Brandon Ayuk to a similar situated wide receiver and get an upgrade from a contributing player at one position to a core position at that, you know, to a core position? Can we do that? Right? Is that something that we can do? Because that's absolutely something that I would like to do. I think that's a really robust strategy with Brandon Ayuk. So that'll be something I'll be looking for. All right, Jerry Jeudy is the other one here, and I think he's a Rorschach test for what you think about Dynasty. So career yards per route run, 82nd percentile. That's at 1.72, so that's good. Targets per route run, what percentage of his routes he's been targeted on, I guess is the better way to say that. 21.4%, that's 87th percentile. So those are good stats, right? When he's out there, he is productive. And I would say the pro case for him would be the offense is play ranked 27th, dropbacks per game 24th, design pass rate 25th. You're going to get a new coaching staff, and I mean that could be one where you say, all right, like things can get better, and we'll do the team roundups, the changing landscape, you know, the changing front offices, the changing coaching staff, all that. We're going to do that, in the offseason. We'll figure out, you know, what to think about Nathaniel Hackett, former Syracuse Orange offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, nonetheless. So we'll think about ways to look at that. And, you know, I think the thing with him is I think the market is giving him a 10-spot bonus because they think a quarterback's going to land there, which may be true, but man, that seems like a bold presumption. And, you know, we've seen this before and it didn't happen. And maybe it does. But what I would be careful with is if that is going to happen and then he gets vaulted up the position, like, you know, I don't know. If Aaron Rodgers landed there, I would guess you're having a debate between him and like DJ Moore at 15, which seems like a lot of movement. And it seems like at this point, you know, Jeudy, he's right there with Keenan Allen, for example. I'd much rather have Keenan Allen, for that matter. You know, there's some guys behind him like Marquise Brown, who's actually drafted, you know, who's drafted later than him. You know, Jeudy's a good example of the fact that these guys are random too, right? And this is a theme that keeps coming up in these podcasts. But we have a hard time getting the ordering of these ones right. I think the bad case for him would be 5.4 targets per game, 15% of his prorated target share. Again, he missed some time, so you sort of divvy it out or whatever, 15%. Points per game, 66th, expected points per game, 55, yards per route run, expected was 1.94. So again, he underperformed that. 75th, and expected points per route run. So you could say, okay, lucrative situation, but he underperformed that again. So there's a lot of ways that you can look at Jerry Jeudy. I don't like paying core asset prices for that. So I would be out of him, I think, at this point. He's at wide receiver 26, so he's sort of on that. He's probably a little bit later than necessarily a core asset, but he's a contributing asset, I guess, more so at this point, and not – I don't know how much he's going to contribute. You know, that's really the range of what I'm looking for in that is, you know, you need to be a big time value uptick guy. And we're going to flip out of you. Maybe that happens with him, but I don't know. I would be hesitant to sort of draft for that. If you're going to do that, draft Calvin Ridley, because you've got multiple outs in that, would sort of be my thought. And they're going in about the same range. So that would be my pitch on Judy. Jalen Reagor, disappointment, 0.67 yards per route run. 12.5% target of his routes he's been targeted on. That's not good. 116th in points per game, expected at 105. So even he disappointed that. That's not great either. So, so I'm probably out on him. I don't even know if a quarterback situation is necessarily going to change him. I think it's a disappointment. I think it's a miss, and these things happen. I think we got to learn from it. And again, learn the randomness thing is certainly a lesson that I've learned from that draft class. All right, and the last one here, Corey Davis. 6.6 targets per game. You could think, like, again, he's one you think, did he let us down? Like, I don't entirely think so. But just about 21% of his routes he was targeted on. Like, that's a good number. Yards per route run, 1.74. That's 81st percentile, 36th in terms of points per game. That's at 11.9, 40th in terms of expected points per game at 11.9. So he really did overperform. Some of the stuff that you see him, it gives me some signal. Again, I want to study more of these patterns. And once I get some of these podcasts recorded, I'll be able to do some more, a little research project here, which I'm really looking forward to. But when you look, like, he underperformed yards per route run expectation, I think you could say that's probably somewhat related to, the quarterback situation. So that would be a spot. You know, listen, if he could stay healthy, I think he's interesting. I think maybe Zach Wilson has the opportunity to grow as well. And you're playing with a whole range of guys. It wasn't necessarily great situations all over the place. So that would be my sort of pause. That would be sort of my pitch for Corey Davis. In terms of, can he be a wide receiver 3 at something less than that cost? Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think when he plays, that's how you're going to feel about his workload. I think when you're doing these exercises, think about what you're trying to get out of these players. I think he's one that, if you're going to pay wide receiver 56, who's going to be more of an impact guy? Is it going to be him or Laviska Shenault? Like, we already kind of seen what Laviska Shenault is. We've actually seen what Corey Davis is, which is an effective guy that just doesn't get a ton of volume because he kind of plays in low volume offenses, but he does all right on a percentage basis. If that ever changes, that's the thing that I want to sort of be on. I think you look at guys that are productive in limited sample sizes and you sort of are on them. That would be something that I would totally be leaning in towards, and at his cost, I think there's very little risk. So, him and Cordarrelle Patterson, Russell Gage, probably guys in that range that I'd be more aggressive on. So, all right. So that'll pretty much do it for this episode. Again, trying to break down some of these here. So you get basically a couple of weeks worth of wide receiver talk, which is more than we probably do, but get you some information, get you grounded in terms of where we're at as we sort of reset, thinking about these guys and going over it. I don't do long ranging written breakdowns of these guys, but I can spend 5 minutes talking about them and try and convey that same amount of information, do some comparisons and all that. So, hope that's helpful. Till next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.